If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I just realized I forgot to put my beauty mark on when I did my drag the other day.
Aww.
I've got one almost right where Marilyn Monroe had hers. I always make sure to pop a little. Well, it gets covered up with your foundations.
Yeah.
Gotta bring it back out.
Is your guys' volume okay?
Yeah.
Yep.
For some reason, mine was real loud.
Let me suck down a little more of this coffee. I didn't make a cup because I was like, no, I'm going to treat myself and stop by McDonald's and get an iced coffee on the way to Shane's.
Josh said treat himself.
Three different drive-thrus I tried to go through this morning, but I think it's Little League season or something because there was a lot of minivans and a lot of tired-looking moms with
soccer
babies in the back just hollering, and they're like, what do you want?
I'm not sure if soccer is a fall sport or spring sport.
I've never even seen soccer played.
I've seen soccer played.
We did at ours high school. Remember, they asked us.
I was going to say, Wapahani had soccer.
Yeah, well, they asked us if we wanted soccer or football, and for some reason, they picked soccer. Even
I abstained because I knew I didn't have any.
No other school plays soccer.
Right there. They're a snooty school. That's why.
Well, we are better than our neighbor school.
Oh, please.
That's trash.
I mean, even God has tried to get rid of their school.
Right.
How many tornadoes? Jeez. I mean.
There was the anniversary of it not too long ago.
How many years has it been?
Oh, I don't remember.
I know. Our high school is just down the road from it, too, and we've never been hit by a tornado.
No.
It's an act of God.
God has mercy on us.
The year before I started kindergarten.
God, just give us the year,
Lord. I'm trying to think.
In the year of our Lord of 1219, before I was in kindergarten.
1822.
I'm thinking that
it was
somewhere.
I drank milk,
Thistle. I think it was 73. 72.
Just make up a year. No one
so when you were five?
I think, yeah. I was very young.
Then it don't count. You weren't there. You have no recollection.
No, it was the year before I started.
You were still pissing your pants.
I will say,
before
though,
you were old enough to now piss your pants again.
On the way to the school, there's a car that's still out in the trees.
It's not in the tree anymore. It's fell.
They took it out?
No, it fell.
Oh, it fell, but it's still... did they remove it?
No,
from
it's still there.
Okay, yeah. But there's just this really old car, and you can see where, like, the tornado picked it up, and it landed into, like, a foresty area.
Right down by the river. Down
it was up
by
in the tree.
The river.
Have you ever seen that tennis shoe tree in Albany, Indiana?
Yeah.
I've heard about it, but I've never seen it.
You live right there? We'll go sometime because I used to take my residents on a little trip. We'd go look at all the round bars in the area. There's a farm that has peacocks and emus as well. And then there's shoe tree. It's like out in the country, though. It's kind of shady to get to.
Is it on the river road? Is it on the road that goes
by? Is that where you went parking?
By the river?
Kind of. It's like you go over a train track. It's very curvy, like country road.
I think I might know where's that then.
And I guess when we go, we're going to have to stop by Dairy Dream.
Of course.
That would be horrible.
I ain't going to all the wilds. Go to Albany.
And did you see
the drag strip?
And did you see that Parker's got a new Mexican restaurant now?
Oh wow!
Yeah,
is
it opened
any good?
Yesterday.
Oh, you haven't had it then? Okay.
I let him.
It can be hit or miss.
Yeah, I can let him keep
Parker's
the bugs.
Bad with restaurants. They don't last very long there. They like their Subway.
Neither in summer.
Yeah, they like what they have, and they don't want nothing else. Yes.
Right. I really hope that it goes. However, with that being said, I looked at the menu because they had it online, and there's nothing really fantastic about it.
Just basic.
Oh, okay.
Is it
basically a little more upscale than Taco Bell?
Oh, so it's white people opening up in a Mexican restaurant. Ain't actually.
It says authentic. I don't know.
Well, Taco Bell claims to be authentic.
Right.
I don't know. Well,
I'll never forget Grandma's face when we took her to an actual Mexican restaurant, not Taco Bell. And like most Americans, when they do that, they order just tacos because they're like, that's safe, not ever having actual tacos. And then they get unseasoned, you know, well, it's seasoned, but not right. heavily like we're right. used to from Taco Hell.
When we went to Florida one year, we went to Epcot and we went to the Mexican Pavilion to eat dinner.
Ooh.
And it was,
I bet that was
when
good.
My ex-husband and I, when we were just dating, it was the year that I got out of high school. And he was like, okay, yeah, I can do a taco. No, this was an authentic restaurant. In
I heard
Epcot.
He likes burritos.
You getting cilantro, honey.
And he didn't eat there, and he didn't eat. There was like three nights in a row that he didn't eat because he didn't like while we were eating.
Oh.
Ended up ordering a pizza in the room.
I can tell that my ADHD medicine hasn't kicked in yet because as Kim's talking, I start seeing a little flutter on the screen that's in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, what is that?
Well, she's talking shit about our school, and she's literally making a blanket from our high school collars.
No kidding. Okay. The Wapahani Raiders.
Yeah.
I can't.
We didn't have any barn dollars at our school.
They need to change that. They need to change that mascot.
I cannot say what it is because, oh my gosh, he would probably be able to see it anyway.
Who are you talking about?
I don't know if they watch or not.
Who?
Adam.
Oh, I doubt it. And if he watches, then it'll be a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, it's for him. It's Cincinnati Reds colors.
Oh.
Yeah.
But, how cute.
Yep.
So Kim picked us up some coffee on the way here today.
I'm so thankful.
And I noticed that all three of us got three different types of milk.
Well,
I do almond.
That's probably how I ended up with almond.
Is I double clicked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't double click it again. It's okay. Like it? I'll drink it. It's okay. Oh. But it's not my favorite.
Well,
I did take a drink of yours and I did like the oat milk.
Did you hear what she's saying?
I don't like oat milk.
Who are you just be sipping on people's drinks?
Well, in my defense,
there is no
I
defense.
Thought you always did almond milk. So I figured the oat one was mine.
I don't care for
you
almond.
Didn't answer me fast enough. So I'd already taken a drink of it when you answered me.
Well, before you asked me that in the text message, I said I ordered oat. Josh ordered almond. And also, the drive from there to here is like 15 minutes. Were you so thirsty? But anyway, back to the point of all of this milk. I don't mind almond milk, but if I have almond milk, I want it in a hot coffee. I don't like the flavor of the nut, which explains.
Oh, I know. I think that's probably why.
I love that nut.
I bet you do.
See, I like almonds.
Josh orders his coffee and he says, can I have that nut extra?
Extra nutty.
Extra nutty, please.
Extra nutty. Well, remember at 20, which is a downtown restaurant here in Wabash, I always would get the wet burrito and I'd get it extra wet.
Extra wet.
They took it off the menu.
They did.
I'm writing a letter.
Mm.
I'm so mad.
I haven't been there in so long.
I haven't either.
Well,
it got awkward I slept with the chef. And
he may not be there anymore.
And his meatloaf wasn't any good.
I couldn't
look at him in the face. I'm like,
that meatloaf was bad.
I can't believe I let you and your meatloaf inside me. Those are trash.
There's two things in this world that it has to be made well or I'll never have it there again. And one of them is meatloaf. It has to be done, too. Don't be giving me some raw red meat.
Don't give me a gray brick.
And two, the gravy. If you don't know how to make gravy at your restaurant, don't make it.
If I go to a restaurant and they give me canned gravy.
Yeah, I know.
No, if it's like McDonald's, which I would never get biscuits and gravy from McDonald's, right. But they have it. You know to expect it. It ain't going to be gravy.
It's not the best.
But if I'm
it's
going
not
to
canned.
A sit down, I'm leaving a tip for a waitress.
Right.
I have my coffee and a glass of water type of restaurant.
It doesn't take a lot to make it. So I don't know why they're using canned. And this is... And that has a certain flavor to it. So you can tell that it's the canned gravy.
As soon as I taste that little bit of metat, I'm like,
So back to 20. I've had this experience so many times that the first time I ordered biscuits and gravy from there, the gravy was great. And I was like, good. They know how to make gravy. Perfect. That's in my mind. And then I went back a couple times later after I had it a couple more times, like within a long period of time, guys. This wasn't like in one day. But after a period of time, I don't know if they had a different chef or what the deal was.
Could be.
But they didn't make it correctly. And by making it correctly, I'm talking about cooking out that flour. And I'm telling you.
Like flour.
Yeah. Like the manager lady there, Cindy, who we've become good friends with, she came over and I was like, hey, Cindy, you need to tell whoever you got cooking that gravy back there.
Your chef is trash.
Yeah, if they aren't going to be cooking out this flour, you let me know because I'm not ordering it anymore. She's like, I'll go tell him. It was a younger guy, she said.
That's funny.
But it makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
Your gravy either has flavor or it tastes like flour.
Yeah. It took me a really long time to be able to do gravy without it tasting in like.
Yeah. Well, the first time I tried to do it, because grandma always told us that's what she did, and I saw her do it. But the first time I tried to do it myself, I was so scared that I was going to like burn.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
Cook out that flour flavor from the flour.
Yeah.
The hell you talk about, you a woman.
and you add it to the sausage before you put any liquids in it. So it in my mind, it just seemed like it was going to burn the bottom of the pan. So I was like, well, you know what? I'm just going to do it. If it's bad, I'm just going to go buy something else.
It was Maya who actually taught me the limits of it, because she came over and she made this dish from Norway. It was kind of like a Salisbury steak, basically, a version of it. And she made a lovely brown gravy, and she browned the flour more than I had ever seen Grandma do it. And I was like, oh, I didn't know you could do it that long. And just gave it this nice, like, nutty, rich flavor. Uh-huh. And like, I don't know, it made the gravy creamier.
Yeah, I remember having it, and it was very good, but I wasn't sure what she had done to it.
I was there that night that she
did. Yeah, I think she did at your house.
No, it was at our old house.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
One of the things that I remember Maya saying, if ever I go to Norway to visit her, I would have to try the delicacy, like the thing that everyone just loves in her village, and that is that cod tongue.
Nope.
I ain't doing it. And if you Google photos, that's a thick-ass tongue.
If I go to another country and they're like, this is a delicacy, I know delicacy means my American USA stomach is not made for that. Mm-hmm. To me, a honey bun with a scoop of ice cream is a delicacy, not a tongue.
That's a put Kim in a coma.
That's a suicide.
Here, Kim, you want some dish with me? Throw some ice cream on it. It reminds me of watching Paula Deen.
And she'd be like, made that
in her butter.
When she made that damn
cheesecake.
Crispy cream cheeseburger. Oh my God.
I don't remember that because I only
remember
watching it.
Oh my God. I do because I went and made it that very week. I did. I was, she, it was a whole Krispy
Kreme. Still numb.
It was a whole Krispy Kreme episode. She made a bread pudding out of Krispy Kreme donuts, and then she made a bacon cheeseburger using Krispy Kreme donuts as the bun. Now, this was before the racist and where she's like, I didn't tell y'all to eat my food I was cooking. You just cook it. You ain't supposed to eat it. It ain't healthy, you know, all that bullshit.
Right. Like,
I still like her. But it was a little much. It was too much. I took a few bites, and I'm like, it was kind of like that double down from KFC. It's just too much. Too much of a good thing.
Now, I remember very clearly when Paula got in trouble for saying the N-word.
Yes.
And then got canceled real quick. And I think it was at Target or Walmart who sold all of her pans and pots and all that stuff.
I think both. Like, it was
probably
kind of like Rachel Ray everywhere. And garbage pans.
Right.
Garbage.
But one of my only African-American friends at that time, I had bought some.
And they're on sale.
And well, I didn't, like, I was like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Like, did you not hear the news?
Honey,
you
know? Clearance is clearance.
And that's what she said. She's like, I'm waiting for Rachel Ray to slip up. Because that stuff was more expensive and nicer. She's like, but it's for sale,
I'm going to go cook on these Paula pans and go sleep on my, what's that pillow from the racist Nazi
my
guy?
Pillow.
Yeah, I'm going to sleep on my pillow because it was on sale too.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Hey, you might as well take advantage when you can.
Right. Well, some of that stuff for Paula and Rachel, it would get really expensive. Like, they have the cheaper versions.
Yeah.
But then they had some nicer versions that still was crap.
The Rachel pans are garbage.
I know.
There's a gay guy I follow on socials, and he used to work for, like, up in the Rachel Ray Corporation, all like on her show and everything. And he said the number one complaint they would get in calls and people writing were the bad quality of the pans.
Yeah.
And I dropped one not long ago. I won them from my ex when he worked at Hell with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of the things he won. I dropped it. I was washing my soup pot and it just fell off the counter. Not a hard fall. Onto a thick rug.
Oh, wow.
Just a boop and dented it. Like, now the lid won't even go on.
Weird.
I was like, this is aluminum. Who makes pans out of aluminum besides Dollar Tree?
Have you ever had the Drew Barrymore ones from Walmart?
No, but I want the I like her.
Emily has like all her of her stuff, and she loves her stuff.
I like her as a person.
Yeah. I like I her show. She's very, I like how.
Very
like,
real.
Yeah.
Laid back.
I like the Pioneer Woman ones. They're I really do. Good.
I've got a lot of her stuff. Mm-hmm. I like a good mixture of.
Now, I'm going to tell you the best pans I've ever witnessed in my life.
This is Mystery Ink Pan Chat.
Right. And what's funny is I feel like we call out these brands all the time and like give them a good pitch and we right. get no
we
money
not
for
any kind of money nothing. From them. Nothing.
But the best pans I've ever had in my entire life, and they are a little bit more expensive, but it's not crazy.
Cast iron.
Yeah. Well, they're cast iron, but they are made by that air fry brand. Oh, Ninja.
Oh, yeah.
So they're Ninja brands. Oh,
yes. Those are expensive.
Yeah, but so.
This girl that has a big girl job that don't make shit won't be getting those.
But hold on a second.
Rich.
Thank you.
In my defense, though, they were a gift like 5 years
okay.
ago.
All right.
And I didn't notice how expensive the set was. Mm. So that's first of all.
You got a good friend.
Yes, right. you do. And but it was not me.
No, it wasn't a brother either.
I got some Paula Deen old pans.
Here's
from
my
Kim's
thoughts
closet.
And prayers for you. Here's right. the receipt.
I used your credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas.
Got no limit.
But anyway, so the crazy thing is they last so long. They go through as many washes as you want and they never like get discolored or anything like that. But one of them had gotten scratched like in the inside. And to be honest with you, it was one of the pots and it was my fault. I was stirring
you
something.
Used a knife or a
you
fork,
used a metal spoon.
I did. Yeah, I used a metal spoon.
Grandma will knock you
I know.
Out.
I as soon as I started using it, I was like, I regret this decision.
I don't even
in my
have
life.
Like all metal utensils, like I, or like you yeah. know spoons and stuff, but
yeah,
not to
I don't
cook
think,
with.
I have like one, and
I
don't think I
it.
Use it that often.
But the bottom of it didn't like really scratch it, but it started like flaking.
Oh, you gotta throw it away. That'll poison you.
Yeah. Well, so I was like, oh. I'll throw that pan away. Dang, that, I mean, it was just, it lasted so long and I felt so stupid. And then I was like, wait a minute. I remember clearly when I opened those boxes that it said lifetime warranty. And I was like, I wonder how good a lifetime is. Like, it's 5 years okay? And I don't have my receipt.
You still breathing, that's a lifetime.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I just gave him a call, which I don't like to call. But I thought, I'm just going to do a call real quick because I was getting ready to drive. So I called and I was like, hey, I have one of these pans. And it started flaking on the bottom is what I called it. And the lady was like, oh no. Well, when did you get it? And I was like, it was a gift 5 years ago. And I'm telling you, she just asked me for a picture of it because I was like, I don't have a receipt. I don't know what brand.
I don't
know nothing.
Like that.
Yeah. She's like,
they cost more, but I mean.
Yeah. She's just like, okay, I'm going to send you a text real quick. Just snap a quick photo for me. And I did. And then she's like, okay, we'll mail you a new one. And I was like, okay.
Can you work that's for it. State Farm,
no
lady,
kidding.
Please?
No effing joke.
You're Mr. Calling.
Now, while I still have you on the phone, can I have some, I have other right. issues I'd like you to help me with.
Speaking of State Farm.
But it was so pleasant.
I'm going to be changing from there pretty soon because Emily, I got her car moved in over to her and her husband's. So it's just my account now.
Oh, good.
So I will be moving.
Try Root. I really like them.
Yeah, I heard that you can get pretty cheap insurance.
They're cheap.
Look, another
didn't
place.
Didn't we do that place once?
They're cheap. Shane's
yeah,
who told me about
I've,
it.
I did a long time ago.
They're quick, too. And mm-hmm. if you ever have to call for a tow truck, you don't have to, like, prepay, you know, some. They're mm-hmm. like, oh, you have to pay the $400 tow fee. Then we'll reimburse you after 6 months.
Do they do renter's insurance, too?
I believe
I
so.
Don't
I think
know.
They're everything now.
Yeah, back when I had it, they didn't, which is why I moved over to State Farm mm-hmm. because I had homeowner's insurance and car insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you couldn't bundle with them at that time. But they, I wouldn't doubt that they evolved since then.
I mean, right now, I think they were just new. Have all I need is renter's insurance right now, but that will change.
Well, that's so basic that I feel like if they've evolved into anything else, it
oh,
would
yeah.
be renter's insurance.
I think
insurance.
They even have pet insurance now.
Yeah, see, I have mixed feelings about pet insurance because I feel like, first of all, I have a lot of feelings about insurance.
Right.
And it never works out in your favor. It's just a scam.
Mm-hmm.
And pet insurance is one of those things where...
You would need it for like, if your pet needs an emergency surgery.
Yeah.
But I can see pet insurance being like, sorry, it's cheaper to euthanize them than pay right. $5,000 for that.
And here's a perfect example of insurance fraud, in my opinion. So when I bought my new couches that are in my living room, real nice. And I was like, I want them to last a long time. So they had a really long warranty of like 20 years or something that you could buy. But it was expensive insurance, but it would cover anything. It said that it was like accidental and manufacturer, all this stuff. And I was like, perfect. Then I know that if there's an issue, it's going to be fixed.
Bless your heart.
Let me tell you, little Betty White.
You're too trusting of people.
Betty White snuck under that chair one time when I was like dozing off and I had the feet up. And she went right under there and chewed up one of those cords. Popped that sucker right out of that motor. And I don't know if you know this, but it's so difficult to get up off a freaking chair like that when it's all the way reclined. I'm like trying to get up so I can get her. And I'm like,
oh my God, I wish I had a video of that.
It was such a mess. But I was like, oh, you know, this isn't a problem, Betty. Don't worry, because I got that expensive insurance. And I'm telling you what, I went to go log into it. First of all, I can't get logged into it. I don't know what the freaking deal is here. I know, I'm mad. I'm insurance.
Mad as hell.
But as I go to file the claim, it's like, these are the things that we cover. And I'm like,
not pet damage.
You said accidental. This is accidental.
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't send you that list until after they get you.
That's exactly it. It wasn't until you were about to file it that you see the list of limited options that you can choose. But if I, like, sat down and had a key that scratched up the leather, they'll fix that.
Oh, yeah. But a pet chewing up a wire.
Just so random. Mm-hmm. No, and I'm telling you what, I'm going to fight it. And I'm sure there'll be none of them listening to this. But I'm going to tell them, I don't know what happened to that cord. Maybe it's a mouse. Huh. I don't know. It just fell off.
Let me take the dog for the day when they come. Right. Like, I don't have a dog.
I don't have one at all. I don't know what you're talking about. Dog chewed that up. I must have bought it like that.
Step on a squeaky toy. That's mine.
That's funny. Yeah. What's that cage for?
Well, I'm into some weird stuff.
I'm into pup play.
That makes you want to puke. Those furries.
Ridiculous.
No offense, everybody. We love you.
We do listen, but we do judge a little bit there.
But see, here's the thing about judging that I've learned. Because I have some friends who, maybe they're on the spectrum, I'm not sure. But they will just be honest about everything up front.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, if we're all three hanging out here, and Kim's like, I wish we could see each other more. A couple of my friends No, they'd be like, well, you know, if you'd reach out more and be a good friend, and they would be so serious. It kind of reminds me of Sophia off the Golden Girls, how like she had that stroke and she just says what she thinks. And meanwhile, I'm just like dying inside because I can't stand it.
That's the childhood trauma.
Well, we were just raised Baptist. And being raised Baptist, you just don't
talk
about it.
You keep that shit inside until it's cancer.
Mm-hmm. No. When you're raised Baptist, Josh, you just don't talk crap about anyone.
Oh, no.
Until they leave.
And
you do it behind their back like a decent human being.
Yep.
Just like Jesus said.
And then your words get misconstrued.
Yeah, I know.
Because nobody keeps a secret.
Of course not.
No, in the downtown area that I'm in most days now, there's a couple people around town that you just know. And I feel like we all have friends like this too.
Don't trust them. Don't tell her nothing.
No, I refer to them as little birdie.
Oh, yeah. A little birdie told me.
So their name is Little Birdie.
Little Birdie.
But it's perfect because once you identify Little Birdie, you know exactly how to get information out very quickly. Yep. You just go up to Little Birdie and say, hey, I got something to tell you. I don't want you to tell anybody because it's a secret.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys test people too when new acquaintance test to see like, let's see if this bitch can keep a secret. And that tells me, can I trust you or can I not? So I'll tell
That's
you,
actually
even
something
if it's made up out, you know, about someone else, nothing horrible to where it's nothing that when the other person finds out, they would be mad in any way. Usually I'll even do a compliment, any kind of test to test how trustworthy is this person? Do they care more about, you know, having a friendship or about bullshit.
Right. Well, see, I do the same thing. I test people's friendships out, but I go to the extreme because I want to make sure that it will get back to me very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And then I can just defend myself by saying, oh, I was just putting on a test, you know, like, don't be upset. So like what I would do, and this is true, I've done this before, is I would approach Josh. Hey, Josh, Just met you. You know, my friend came over there. She was born a man, but don't tell her because she gets real upset about it.
Oh, I won't. You can tell.
Yeah. So, but the moment the moment it gets back to Kim that I said that, you know, she's going to be down my throat real quick. Yeah.
And then, you know, I can't tell that person nothing.
And then I just be like, Kim, I know. So I'm sorry. I just did it as a test.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're going to let that person think the whole time that I was born a man instead of a woman.
There's a lot of people in this world who believe that Kim was born a man.
Oh, please.
And evidently, and you know, it probably.
Some people think that about me too.
Well, I've learned that I have to pick another person because Kim is not easily approachable unless you know her really
she
well.
She got that stank face.
She does. She just puts on her angry face.
I can't help it. I don't like people
face.
I don't know.
Just, you don't like
and
people
even then,
you know.
It's hit or miss.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is. You just got a mad face. When we were down in Florida, we were at this restaurant, and I look over, and she has the meanest looking face. And I thought, Kim, no wonder people don't want to come up and talk to us.
The outside restaurant, is that what you're talking about? Because I know I probably had a really nasty look on my face because I was not comfortable there.
No, I'm talking about the restaurant that I left because it was so dang loud.
Yeah,
let me tell you, these restaurants, they need to put some sound isolators up on the wall or something, because we were in this bar place.
Yeah, it was a pub.
They didn't have bad food.
You're in a pub.
It was so loud.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But it was so loud that my ADHD just couldn't handle it anymore after we were in there for probably an hour.
Overstimulation.
I think that's what I was. I was really overstimulated, not only with the noise, but we were sitting with a room full of people that I had no idea who they were besides you.
Yeah.
And so I was just really overwhelmed.
Well, and you can't and then interact.
And then he gets up and he leaves and I'm like, I ain't leaving my...
Yeah, I just looked over at Kim and I was like, Kim, I have to go back to the hotel room. I'm not feeling very well. Can you pay for mine? And I gave her my card and I left.
There's too much going on in here. I don't like it.
Right. No. Well, they took a long time. And I don't blame them because we had a big party and we knew going in that
they know
that
the tips included. They don't have to rush.
Right. But I had enough of the loudness and the echo. Like, there was nothing on the wall that would sink in sound. And they just had pictures and stuff. They just bounced sound right off of it.
I mean, to top it off, the people that was sitting next to us, it was a guy.
Giving a presentation.
Yeah, he was giving us some kind of a presentation or maybe teaching them different things about diving. They were talking about
it was like
about
a diving,
diving
safety class or something. And there's like six or seven of them around that table. And I don't know if you looked at their faces, but they were checked out.
Oh, yeah, they were checked out.
I wonder if they're here because they're forced to be here or if this is like one of those things where you go... Do you know what those beach towns, and I can't remember what they're called. Our mom did it before. You know, like they'll pay you or whatever to like sit in them.
The timeshare.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if that
was
something.
Probably what it was.
I don't think so. I think they were probably getting recertified. They were probably some people that were certified. They all had the same shirt on, so they all worked for the same place.
Oh, see, I didn't pay that much attention.
Yeah, they all had the same. And
I could
hear
every word.
They didn't have a shirt on. If it wasn't a shirt that had the logo on it, it was a jacket. So they all worked from the same place. So I'm sure they were getting recertified for something.
I was listening to a podcast by Roz Hernandez. She's a trans ghost hunter. You might have seen a clip of her paranormal investigation where she's doing the spirit box at like this haunted place. And the ghost calls her the F slur. But she's like, she thought it said fat. She's like, fat? Are you calling me fat? And then it's like,
oh my gosh.
Like, oh. But I just listened to an episode last night and she was talking to a sex witch, which of course that's why I was listening to it. But the sex witch was talking about how clubs and bars and stuff are very low energy because a lot of people, when they go there, you know, some people go out to drink to have fun, but a large portion of people go out to drink because they're having a hard time. They're depressed. Yeah. They're going through a divorce. You know, someone died. And
alcoholics.
So those places hang on to all of that negative energy. And she said, when you look at hauntings and stuff, most bars and clubs, especially if it's very old, are haunted because, you know, the negative spirits and stuff are just drawn to those places.
Yeah, makes
I mean,
sense.
Even alcohol is called spirits. And some people, she's one of them who believe that by, you know, ingesting the spirits of the alcohol, you know, she says that like when people black out drunk, that's actually sometimes like your body's being taken over by some of those negative spirits. I just, you know, not that I believe it all fully, but I was like, that's, you know, I've only been to bars maybe 10 times, like, to actually go out and have fun, not to like go do drag or something. And I don't like them. I've never, I've never had a good time. As soon as I walk in, I just get this like bubble of anxiety and like overstimulation. And I can't,
I think
be there
I
for
have
very
only
long.
Been with friends like twice. And both of them were bars in Muncie, and bars just were not my scene.
And 9 out of 10 bars I've been to have been gay bars. So, I mean, I couldn't even imagine going to straight bars.
Well, I get that same feeling when I walk into a bar, too, because you always know the seating isn't going to be great.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Like, the bathroom's going to be gross.
Yeah. And, sticky floors.
I hate walking into a bathroom to go pee and there's someone in there doing it. I just doing the nasty.
I'm have like, I ever told you the time that I went to a gay bar and did not know it?
No.
So when we were...
I bet you blended right in there.
Was it with someone that I told? Wasn't that you were born a
no,
man?
No. It was when we were out on the carnival scene when we were... Well, my ex-husband at the time was working the carnival. I hadn't went out yet. But they were in Indianapolis, and I went to go see him for the weekend. And we... There was a bar in the same area that the carnival was at. So he's like, yeah, everybody will go over to this bar after everything closes and everybody have a couple drinks. And I'm like, okay. They neglected to tell me that it was a gay bar on purpose. So we go in there and we sit around, and all these people from the carnival are starting to buy me drinks. And I'm like, gosh, darn it. So I'd had a couple. I was feeling okay. I wasn't, you know, 3 sheets to the wind, but I was feeling all right. And I look over and I see 2 women kissing each other at the bar. And I look back and I'm like,
she's drunk.
I didn't see maybe I've drank a little bit more than what I thought I did. And so I look over again and everybody around me is just dying laughing because I'm putting 2 and 2 together. And the look on my face must have been really funny.
All the rainbow flags and dicks on the wall tip her off.
No.
Well, you have to remember how long ago this has been. They didn't have that, you know.
It had to be incognito.
Yeah. This was Amber. Oh, my gosh. This would have been like.
Was it in Muncie?
25 years ago, 27. No, it was Indianapolis.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Like I forgot NASA. About that. Yeah. That's the third. That was the third bar I've been to. I've only been to 3.
Anybody, if you're ever in Muncie, Indiana, check out the Mark III Tap Room. That is my first gay bar I've ever went to. It changed locations. It used to be a little hole in the wall about the size of this room, but now it's a lot bigger. But
still have the hole in the wall.
Yeah, yeah. They
I've always wanted to go to one of their drag shows there, and I never
fantastic
have.
Drag show. Like, yeah. I went I've heard the first time because I was like, it's local, support local. Was not expecting to be blown away the local drag queens in Muncie. Outstanding light shows. I was like, just flabbergasted.
That is pretty cool.
Did not expect that talent.
If you hear that they're going to have another one, Josh, we should go.
Yeah. I would like to do Pride with you guys this year. I have never been personally.
So when you said we would be there as guests, like we would have a table? Or
no, like we go there.
Just go to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is still room for vendors, but since we're not adherently a queer, gay, LGBTQ podcast, right. I feel like I wanted to save that for
even so, though 2/3 of us would qualify.
Yeah,
I mean, Cam was born a man and you're gay.
Whatever.
So
no, I feel like it would be more fun for us to
go
experience
just for fun.
It than to just
especially
I would
being
like to go
first time.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Now Shane, I know that you probably won't because you know you're similar to me. You don't like a lot of people touching you. But Kim, I want you to wear a Hugs from Mom t-shirt.
Oh, I
those videos
wholeheartedly would.
And I think it would just be magical for not only the people there that will come up and hug you, because there will be a lot, because you are just a ball of sunshine.
As but long as your face is right.
I think it would be very healing for you as well, because you know Amber was a part of my community. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I was watching it and thinking about it, and I was like, I feel like that would just be another step of healing for Kim.
You know, since I've started this big girl job, I have realized how much I really do love helping people.
Oh, that's good.
And
her face doesn't show it, but she does inside.
No, I am a completely different person when I'm in there. It and every once in a while, it'll hit me when I'm standing there, you know, or doing whatever, and I'm real chipper. And because, you know, that's really not me. I'm not one of those blonde right. chippies that are, you know, bouncing off the walls.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But I am in there, and it's stupid, and I don't like it.
That's how I was at the nursing home.
I'm like, why am I like this in here? Because a lot of the people that we, you know, that comes in there are older ones. And so I'm really good with the older generation because my grandparents, you know, I live with my grandparents.
Right.
And
you're at that age.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm like, man, I'm really different when I'm here.
Well, that's just really weird. There's people who want to help versus, right. you mm-hmm. know, someone go there for help and the person's like, you know, I don't think you do, like making themselves be the judge and jury on whether this person is, looks like you got new shoes. I don't think you need, right. that ain't none of your business.
Yeah, it's right. not.
I got a sugar daddy.
That's one of the things that they taught, you know, when we were going through training and stuff, don't ever judge somebody by the way they look because it could be a gift. It could, you know, it's right. hard to tell how they could have got some of that.
Well, stuff. You have to have a smartphone now anyway to be able to do anything.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty much. Yeah.
And I've got nice clothes. That doesn't mean I had a lot mm-hmm. of money. It means I had, when I bought the clothes for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm. Right. right.
But you can also tell those ones that are milking the system, too.
Oh, yeah.
But.
It takes all kinds.
Right. Well, Josh, is it your mystery today?
It is, finally. Oh, boy.
Okay.
His back's not hurting.
Oh, that's good.
I used a big floor cleaner thing, and I knew I did it. It didn't, like, twist. It happened later when I got out of the shower and put the potty pad back down, but I had, like, turned wrong with it, and I felt it in my back, and the rest of the night, I was like, be real easy, you know, bending with my legs. I'm like, just don't think about it. It'll go away. And then I got in the shower.
It didn't go away.
Well, you know, you get out of the shower, you're not thinking, and you just have it. Get out of the shower, dry off, mm-hmm. put down the potty pad.
And could not get back up.
Now, I can't just imagine Josh just like bending over to put down a potty pad. I just imagine you pop locking and dropping it.
What's funny is I normally bend at the knees and the hips. Like I do a squat because, you know, you got to get your squats in when you can. I don't have an ass and I need all the help I can. But at that time, I just bend.
Please
at
tell
the waist.
Me that you had clothes on.
He just had a shower.
He did not have clothes on.
Do you wear clothes in the shower, Kim?
No, but how did you?
She doesn't shower.
Without your mom, see, what? Please enlighten us.
It was a show, let me tell you. Well, I have my robe on the back of the door, so I had to, like, use my legs. Because my legs are quite long, and my toes are like monkeys. So I had to, like, use my toes to get it. Because I was like, if I have to call anybody and they have to come over here, I'm not. There's an episode of Sex in the City where Miranda is, like, naked on the floor. And Aiden comes and picks her up, and I'm like, I ain't doing that. But I was able to crawl my way to the bed, and then I got to bed, and my bed's quite tall. I have a large base, and then I have a box spring and a mattress. So mm-hmm. it's quite tall up there, and I, like,
crawled up.
Is that how you got from the bathroom to your room?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he tried to call the fire department to get their help, but they said, sir, we told you, you can't call here anymore.
I was like, I'm not calling anybody for help because all the doors are locked. And if I have to call the fire department or something, I'll have to break in the door. Uh-huh. And that's all. I was
wait a minute. Your mom wasn't there, was she?
No, it was
okay.
Literally the day after she left. Which is, I'm funny. Like, I'm cursed. I finally get the house to myself where I can get, you know, split open. And then now, and then since Body then, I've been too, like, paranoid. I'm like, no, I can't have a man come over all over myself. And I'd be on that show, Sex Sent Me to the ER.
Well, Josh, I'm glad that you survived, but I'm also, like, how funny would it have been? Not funny.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It would have been an interesting story if you would have been found dead on the floor. What was he doing after all that hours of investigation? He was changing a potty pad after he got out of a shower.
I did pull up on my phone. I have like, you know, you can change your wallpaper, your background. I have one where it's, I do it when I go hiking alone too. And it's like, has my name. If you're finding this, I've probably lost consciousness and please call the paramedics. This is my name, age, no allergies, my phone number. I live in Wabash and this is my brother and mother's phone number to contact.
Well, you know what you could do, Josh? Like, I know that you don't like sharing your location,
no,
like permanently, but what you could do is just take an AirTag and like if you have a backpack or whatever, whenever you go hiking, just pop that in.
Sometimes when I go hiking, I'm cruising.
Well, just leave your bag. Like, you don't always have to bring it with you, but if you know you're going to be out for a while, that way, if no one hears from you or you get lost,
at least find you.
Then we can just ping that.
I did the, sometimes I'll share my location with my friend Brittany, just because she's not blood relative, and I just don't want you and mom to know what man's house I'm at.
Well, first of all, Josh, I have Kim's location, I have Wendy's location, I have a lot of people. I literally never look at anyone's location. I mean, who has the time for that?
Our mother.
The owner, I know.
She'll be like, oh, look, Shane's.
She does
Shane's
that to me.
Shane's going to so-and-so.
She does.
I'm like.
She, that's how she knew I was in Philadelphia.
I'm like, that's why you don't have my location.
Yeah.
I never look. I don't want to hear it from you because every once in a while I'll be at Walmart or something and he will look to see where I'm at and he'll text me, what are you getting me from Walmart?
Well, normally it's because I hadn't heard from her that day and I'm thinking,
are you alive?
Only good reason I can think that she wouldn't check on me today is if she's laying on the floor dead somewhere. Let me see where to send the police officers.
Shoot, it doesn't do me any good to text you half the time because I texted you the other night and did you ever answer me back? No.
Was it when I was in Philadelphia?
No, you were home.
I was probably busy. I'm busy. Busy.
He's got a baby.
Now, what was your mystery, Josh? Did you tell us?
Mom,
I feel like, we got sidetracked.
You can tell that we haven't been all together for a while.
Well, we haven't seen each other since like the beginning of March.
Right.
It's been a month. We had a lot of, and I'm just going to bring up real quick, that pig's ass it just got me.
I still ain't
been able to eat that tapioca pudding in the fridge.
Someone took a video of it, and I told them if they ever send it to me, I will block their number. And
I already know what your face looked like, too.
No,
like when Kim flashed us in our photos.
No, when I did it, I like pretended like I wasn't there, like dissociated completely.
Everybody, I'm sure, is going, that's not Patreon supporters, are going, what about this pig? Because we didn't talk about it on the main episode.
Unmasked.
We'll get into more stuff on Unmasked because Josh, you know, he hasn't really heard any of the stories other than us listening. So if he has any questions or wants to talk about it, we'll tell you.
It's a doozy. Don't eat if you listen to it. Do not.
I still have a smell stuck in my nose.
Yeah,
every once in a while, I'm like, what is that smell? Oh, gosh, that's pig death.
It's like
death
in high school when they would dissect the cats and the baby pigs, the whole school, because it wasn't a big
school. It smelled
like
formaldehyde.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, this was decay, though. It wasn't a formaldehyde. Yeah. It was a...
Well, my mystery today... Sorry.
Rice, anybody?
Maggots are my kryptonite. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no,
my God.
I
should have brought my vial of maggots.
No, Josh, we went to dinner that night. And I was like,
barely.
I had a couple bites of a sandwich.
I had rice.
She got rice. And I was like, how in the hell? And you know, the only way she could have done it is because she didn't put her tweezers
That's
up
true.
In a pig's ass.
That is true. I did not.
I wasn't able to eat Chinese noodles one time because they were the exact width and size of worms. And
yeah, I can't do it.
I don't care for that.
It tasted delicious. I hated it. It was so good, but it felt like I had worms in my mouth. Couldn't do it.
Mm-mm, gross.
Well, my mystery today is about the curse of King Tutankhamun's tomb.
I love anything King Tut.
Oh, yeah. Except how he looked. Bless his heart. Oh, clubfoot inbred mess.
Poor little thing.
He must have been a barn dollar.
Ooh, must have been. I ain't gonna say it.
Well, you know, Josh, Kim's family comes from royalty.
No, I know.
I bet they could be dated back all the way back out to King Tut.
She's related to Queen James. She's responsible for the Bible. We grew up on her family. That's because of her.
Right.
Please.
Homophobe.
All that royalty and her family, all them breeding together all that time.
Boy, how genes just disintegrate through the years.
No kidding.
Anyway, go on.
Well, we missed you, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Archaeologist Howard Carter's 1922 discovery of King Tutankhamun's tomb ignited a global fascination with ancient Egypt. He does get the credit for the discovery, but did you guys know that it was actually discovered by an animal? I'm not sure if it was a horse, a mule, or a camel. I want to say camel because it's a desert, but they have horses too. But a man was walking his, I'm going to say camel, by where the tomb was buried, and the animal's foot went through a hole. And when they looked into the hole, they're like, wait a second. I think there's something underneath here.
I don't know.
And that's
I knew
how
that.
They discovered King Tut's tomb.
I'll be darned.
So a literal animal, just an accident.
Out of all of the stuff that I've watched on King Tut's tomb, I don't think I've ever
heard
that.
Either. I've got magazines and, you know, I've been obsessed with Egypt since the 90s when that big gold Egyptian book in the library came out. And, you know, it just became, that was my first fascination. I was like, a mule, a camel discovered the tomb? Well, in addition to the vast amounts of treasure and gold in Tut's tomb, there was also an alleged curse that would befall all those who disturbed the young pharaoh's final resting place. King Tutankhamun, also known as King Tut, ascended to the Egyptian throne at a young age and ruled during the 18th dynasty. His tomb, which is designated as KV62, remained largely undisturbed and forgotten until its discovery. Even the entrance to the tomb was still bound with rope, a sure sign that it was undisturbed. Now, King Tut died quickly and young, which actually helped his tomb remain hidden all those thousands of years. The one he would have had he lived longer, wasn't completed yet. I mean, it took him a long time to build these elaborate tombs for pharaohs.
Mm-hmm.
So King Tut's tomb was actually meant for someone of lesser importance. And it helped it go unnoticed and eventually be covered in a literal mountain of sand over thousands of years.
Don't mind me, I'm looking up some photos.
Well, after the discovery of the tomb, the media coverage of the excavation and all the treasures coincided with a series of unfortunate events that led to the belief in a curse plaguing those involved. Howard Carter and his financial backer, Lord Carnarvon, set out to uncover artifacts that could provide insight into ancient Egyptian civilization. The tomb was discovered in November of 1922 and contained have you guys seen? Oh, I mean, I'm sure you've seen pictures and stuff of the treasures, but it was kind of looked like an episode of Hoarders. Like it was it was so small, but packed with all the gold.
Stacked.
Oh my God.
Stacked with all kinds of stuff.
Well, one of the most famous pieces of treasure in the tomb is the famous gold mask that was over King Tut's body. And the initial excitement of the discovery soon led to ominous headlines in the media, which first suggested that there could be a curse. The first death came the day the tomb was open, and it happened to a poor little canary that they were using to test the air quality in the tomb, you know, like they did with coal miners and stuff. You never know what kind of molds and funguses and air quality is going to be in a tomb that's been buried for thousands of years. So they would bring a canary in, make sure they wouldn't die. Well, while they were you know, looking around the tomb and everything. Someone set the little canary's cage down, and before they know it, a cobra had gotten into the cage and was starting to consume the canary.
Oh, wow. Gosh.
It instantly put them in a state of fear and kind of foreboding because the cobra was the symbol for King Tut. I mean, if you, anybody that believes in symbolism or intuition, I would have been getting the hell out of feet. Don't fail me now. It would have been like an episode of Scooby-Doo, just my smoke outline and the shape of me in the wall. Other key incidents after the opening of King Tut's tomb, Lord Carnarvon's, I'm saying that name wrong, but it doesn't slip off the tongue very easily. He died on April 5th of 1922, that following year, from an infected mosquito bite, which he got shortly after the tomb was open. And there are reports that he was the first human to enter the tomb after it was open. Following his death, several other individuals associated with the tomb's discovery suffered from unexpected mishaps and illnesses. A man named Arthur Mace, who is a member of the excavation team, fell seriously ill, and several other participants experienced accidents and sudden death. Now, the media did play a large role in creating the myth of this curse and keep, you know, anything to sell papers.
Yeah.
Right.
Newspapers of the time were posting things seeking to increase circulation and publish dramatic accounts of the Egyptian curse. They were exaggerating all the tales of misfortune. There were articles that highlighted ancient Egyptians' beliefs and curses, but they also weren't providing factual context or scientific explanations. So, I mean, from 1922, sounds like today's Facebook.
Right.
And it led a large amount of the public to start believing in these insidious supernatural forces. King Tut's curse is actually what helped fuel the spiritual craze of the early 1900s. You know, all the psychics and stuff that we have covered from that time all derived from this main King Tut's curse. So I just, it was, you know, I love finding a good origin of things, languages and et cetera, words. And I was like, oh my God, I was like, all the movies I've seen about like the Haunting of Amityville, you know, stuff where a plasma's coming out of the medium psychic's mouth and just all that stuff. I'm like, wow, this really all came from the media.
That's funny.
And I hate that. People became obsessed with ancient Egypt after the discovery of the tomb. Mummies became all the rage. The museum we visited in Richmond, Indiana, had that huge Egyptian section, and all because of the craze caused by King Tut's tomb. I mean, that museum, it used to be a private home of a lady in the early 1900s, and because of King Tut's tomb is the whole entire reason we were able to see all that Egyptian stuff. I was like, huh, full circle.
That's pretty crazy.
Mummies were everywhere. A lot of people don't realize how many mummies have been discovered and grave robbed from Egypt. There were thousands of them. A lot of people think only the pharaohs and the upper class were being mummified, but pretty much anybody could. Now, I did discover that if you were of lower class and you were being mummified, they would often remove your heart, which they did anyway, but they would not bury it with you because they didn't want the pharaohs and the upper class dead people to have to be, you know, bothered by all these poor people in the afterlife. So I'm like, even dead, there's a caste system. I'm like, how rude.
Mm-hmm.
You can be mummified, but you can't have your heart and actually, you know, live on the other side.
Right.
People would rent mummies for parties. They would use them as decoration. Mummy brown was a very popular paint color, and it was made from ground-up mummies.
What?
Yeah. There are some famous artworks and museums today with traces of mummy in them because of the mummy brown paint. And that's how you get haunted paintings.
Okay.
There's actually a lot of famous artists from the around that time, the early 1900s, mummy brown, it was one of the most popular colors and pigments that you could get, to the point to where, I mean, it didn't last very long. They ran out of mummies to make it.
Well, yeah.
And eventually, mummies were even ground up and consumed in tablet form by people, all of whom believed that it had health benefits. Can you imagine that taste, burping up that flavor?
No kidding. Mm.
If anybody's ever taken fish oil and you get the burps after that, imagine that, but with thousands of year old dead ground up mummy.
Right.
Ugh.
Even worse, it was such a lucrative operation that when they started running out of mummies, grave robbers would just dig up random people, dry them out, and grind them up to sell as counterfeit mummy supplements. So people, it was such a phase and so popular that people were just swallowing pills made up of people's grandma and papas and thinking it's going to make them, I don't know, get a boner or whatever the hell they do. That's like with rhino horn. It's literally just keratin, what our hair and nails are made out of. But people are killing, you know, rhinos are basically extinct now.
All right.
Also, some people can have vitality and a boner. God, maybe take it from a sign from God. Maybe you ain't supposed to have sex no more. The earliest 20th century was marked by a growing interest in the mysterious and the occult, fueled by spiritualism and an increased fascination with ancient cultures. The romance of ancient Egypt, combined with the mysteries of archaeology, created a fertile ground for the emergence of these myths, such as the curse of King Tut's tomb. Many researchers and historians suggest that the curse can be attributed to chance and the natural life cycle of the individuals involved. And even more, a lot of the participants in the excavation did live long, healthy lives, including Howard Carter, who died many years later in 1939. I myself like to believe in the curse. It's what I would do if someone dug me up after a few thousand years to steal me and my goodies. I don't think so. I'm not dying so I can be bothered. As a matter of fact, I'll do this now. I hereby curse any and all who disturb my final resting place. Those who dare to bother my eternal slumber shall forever always have a wet spot on their sock. May no dog owner ever let them pet that dog. And no matter, this is the worst one, no matter how many times they brush their teeth, may they always feel like there is that fuzzy coating of black on them. So be it. Oh, if anybody ever disturbs my tree when I'm dead.
I guarantee you I won't.
No kidding.
I was trying to think. I was like, well, I don't want, you know, they don't deserve to die because they disturb me, but they ain't going to be comfortable. I came across a page the other day. It was like, curses, but not so bad. And a few of them, like the one where may every pet owner not let you pet their dog was one of them. But I was like, ooh, what are some other ones? And the teeth one, I was like, ooh.
Oh, yeah,
good.
That one's a real good one.
You can go get your teeth professionally cleaned by a dentist. They're still going to feel like fuzzy. Oh, I hate that fuzzy feeling.
Yeah, I do too.
I didn't know a lot of people don't brush like the backs of their teeth, their tongues, the roof of their mouth. I'm like, what the hell are you brushing then? Oh, you just getting the fronts? I love brushing the roof of my mouth. A lot of people don't. And when you do, you're like, oh, I'm just filthy. That was just cut layers and layers of gunk bacteria.
See, I'll do everything else, but that tickles. I can't do that.
Oh, my mouth is dead inside. I don't feel nothing in there. Honey.
Not a
thing. His is dead.
I hasn't felt that for years.
Well, it's funny because mom, she's very, anytime she brushes her teeth, she gags. It doesn't matter. Like if anything touches her tongue, I'll hear her in there. She's very loud with it. Love you, mom. Be very loud with it. And me, I'll be in there like, I got my tongue scraper. I'm like, I got the electric toothbrush back there. Not a thing. It's
not a
dead.
Thing. Just dead.
I'm very anal about my teeth and other things. But I mean, I floss every day. I use my tongue scraper. I brush my tongue. I use the water pick and I do mouthwash. People just don't do enough. And then you go hug them and you're like, There's fish ass around. Did I ever tell you guys about my first day of high school?
No.
And how I embarrassed a girl? You know, our lockers were alphabetical order. And so W, I'm all the way at the end of the hallway, right next to the bathrooms. And my first day of high school, so excited, going in there, making friends, new life, new me.
New life.
A girl who, of course, I knew, alphabetical order, were always by each other in line and in lockers. So, you know, hi, how was your summer? How you doing? Small talk, blah, 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 blah. She starts talking. I stop her, put my hand in front of her face and stop her. Hold on. Stop talking. I look at the bathroom just about 10 feet from me. I'm waiting to see a river of shit just flow out of the bathroom because I smell raw sewage, raw, rotten sewage. So I walk down to the bathroom, look inside because there's no doors. It's a high school bathroom, no doors. No shit's coming through. I'm like, huh, wonder what that smell was. I walk back, start talking to her again. She starts talking at me as soon as her mouth opens, the breath.
Oh my
eyes water. I just
hand her a Tic Tac.
I had to walk away, but I did start carrying gum in my locker. Best believe every morning I'm like, hi, how you doing today? You want a piece of gum?
Take a piece of gum. You need it.
Bless our hearts.
That's sad.
Yeah, that's my little mystery today. King Tut's curse.
That was good.
I would love to see. I'm pretty sure. I know I remember seeing at least one mummy in Chicago when we went for sixth grade, and I'm pretty sure that it was King Tut's, but I'd like to see it again.
Because I
was still young.
I went in fifth grade to Chicago. Mm-hmm. I think it was the Field Museum, and I remember it being, because I remember seeing, I mean, you don't forget that, the gold mask, just even his, like, we think of sarcophagus is just, you know, one
it's
and done.
It's not there anymore.
He had like, no, it, I believe it.
It's back in Cairo now.
I think
in
so.
That, in that
it's like protected.
Museum. Yeah, in that big museum that they built.
Which, you know, I struggle with archaeology and mummies and stuff because how is that not grave robbing?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, just because it's been a few thousand years. Right. I mean, if we were to, you know, get in time machine and go a few thousand years, I can't go dig up grandma just because some time has passed. That's still their final resting place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get, you know, we can learn from them and everything, but I think it's the right thing to do would be to put them back.
Put them back once you learn everything, yeah.
I mean, that's clearly what their final wishes were. And I don't know, I wouldn't want to be dug up in thousands of years and kept in a refrigerated box in a museum somewhere and having snot-nosed kids pushing their dirty hands up against me. No, I'm supposed to be in a hole in the desert, not being bothered by these people. Oh,
yeah.
I'm still looking up photos.
Just my opinion, though.
You and your photos.
His tomb is very cool. I love the picture of the where the rope knot is still on the doors before they unsealed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they even found, like, they had a door was sealed off and hidden that they later found. And then, you know, they were able to find more. But it's very interesting. I am very hopeful that in my lifetime, the tomb of Nefertiti will be discovered.
They've been looking for it for a long time.
I watch a lot of stuff about Egyptian history, and there's a lot of new clues and signs that they're getting closer. Mm-hmm. So hopefully.
I know the last thing that I watched, they were showing a carriage that was in King Tut's tomb.
Yes.
And they were redoing it. They were trying to refurbish it. And it was really cool.
Did you guys hear about the, I don't think it's real, but it's all over the conspiracy theory, social media everywhere, about the chambers that were allegedly discovered underneath the Great Pyramids of Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About the huge, like, several story long, like, copper wrapped tubes. And then it looks like a big old battery, basically. But they go, like, thousands of feet under the desert floor. I mean, if it were true, it's not something believed to be possible by what technology they had back then.
Well, neither was the pyramids.
Right. Well, they did because they're real. But, mm-hmm. you know, if the, yeah. these
but
are
everybody,
real.
Nobody's ever been able to figure out how they done it.
Right, right. But, I mean, the Nile River used to be right up by the pyramids. So, you
right.
know, mm-hmm. water has a lot of good uses to it.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I always like finding a good documentary on Egypt.
Mm-hmm. There's this one archaeologist I love watching on YouTube. I cannot think of her name, but she is hard to miss. She's British, and she has a big old ginger afro.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I love her.
Very intelligent.
Her voice, the way she just, the passion she has for what she does really plays off and like just... And I don't know, the way she speaks with her accent, I'm just like, I would listen to you read the funny papers.
Is she the lady who also, in some of the videos that I've watched on Netflix or something, I think that she'll sometimes walk around Egypt with an umbrella.
Yes.
Yeah. Like it's so hot up there. She's just like, with a black umbrella, I think.
I would love to go there, but I know heat-wise, I would never make it.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I would be in my linen muumuu and living my best life. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
A lizard. You're nothing but a lizard.
I love it.
Well, Josh, what else you got for us?
That is all I have. I didn't do a bless your heart because, frankly, I forgot about it.
All good.
And I just haven't come across a lot of good news. Let's just,
I
got to bless your heart. Let's bless just all of our hearts right now because we all need it. Because shit is crazy. Uh-huh. Eggs ain't any cheaper, even though I don't really eat eggs a lot. But just as we move forward in our current reality, just don't forget that this too shall pass. Not everything is permanent. Unless you die during it, then it is quite permanent.
Right.
But for those of us that are hopefully going to live through it, unless they put me in the camps, that's still a possibility for me. But don't worry, I'll go down fighting.
Right.
But yeah, just bless all of our damn hearts because we need it. Unless you're orange, your heart gets blessed.
Right.
Unless you're a South African asshole, our heart gets blessed.
We will, if you get sent to the camps, Shane and I will sneak
in. We'll break
some,
you out.
Some honey buns.
Well, don't, you know, don't rush. Because, I mean, it is going to be a camp full of other gay men. So give me a few weeks.
Hey, I'll at least bring you some honey buns to keep you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Keep your energy low.
Slip them in.
That'll be my name at the camp, honey bun.
Honey bun.
Honey bun.
Y'all going to see honey bun?
Slip in, slip out, honey bun.
I have to joke about it because it is.
Oh, yeah.
It could be a reality.
Well, we've had camps in our past before.
We have. I mean,
we're Asian.
Innocent people now put in Guantanamo Bay, and
right.
they're not coming back, and they didn't do anything. So I'm like, that could be me.
Yeah.
And it's
never know. That's for sure.
Well, and I've learned enough about Nazi Germany and Mussolini and Pol Pot, and basically I've learned every powerful dictator in our human history over the past several years, and there's a lot of common ground and how they rise to power, and it's people who think, well, that won't happen to me, who it ends up happening to. So just
never forget the past, because it will repeat itself.
And it's right there for us to learn from, honey. So everybody bless our hearts, and that's all I'm gonna say about no more politics or nothing.
All right, Josh, you want to sign us out?
Yeah, I'll close us out because I know it by heart.
Perfect.
Snort.
Follow us on our Patreon for bonus episodes of Unmasked and insights into our personal lives. There you'll gain access to direct messaging, cooking videos, and occasional Patreon exclusive live events featuring games, mysteries, and prizes. And once we get enough patrons, that's where we'll be putting Kim and drag.
Yeah, I need to check that out too. I know we've gotten this.
Well, it goes up and down so often. I'm like, I don't even know how to. We have to like make a physical list. You can find us under the username at It's Mystery Inc. And check out our website, itsmysteryinc.com, where we have all of our past episodes and our merchandise, like my Amazonite necklaces. We've got shirts. We're getting our new tumblers in shortly. And cups. We got coffee cups and a little crystal dicks. You know you want a little dick in your life.
Who doesn't want a little dick?
And send us a postcard to at P.O. Box 690, Wabash, Indiana 46992. And thank y'all for joining us today.
Yeah, we'll see you guys later.
Bye.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.